Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, for all the teenagers in the room, that's in the New Testament. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Ready? The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help the young people to pay attention and listen. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us adults too as well. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to learn from your word. Help us to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. I was on an ambulance several days ago, and I was transporting somebody, and I can't tell you a whole lot about it because of the HIPAA rules and everything, but this gentleman was a saved individual, and he was excited about being saved, and he had something that he was sharing with everybody he met. And the deal was he had made up the ABCs of what God meant to him. And the person I was working with, it was actually their turn to be in the back with the patient. And this individual says, "Hey, you've got to write in the back with them." And I thought at first they're trying to get out of a call or whatever. They're like, "No, listen, ask them about the ABCs of the Bible." And so I'm game, you know. So I took patient care and I hopped in the back. And I asked him, I said, so what about these ABCs of the Bible? He got a big old smile on his face and he said, "You want to hear about the ABCs of the Bible?" And I asked you about it, you know. And we'd always joked around in the past. He said, "Well, let me tell you about the ABCs of the Bible." And I couldn't, obviously, since they were his, I couldn't find exactly. But I found a version of the ABCs in the name of the Lord online. And I want to read to you something that kind of sparked this message tonight. And obviously these weren't the same ABCs, but they were about as similar as I could get. And he says, basically, the list is: A is for Alpha and the Almighty, who is able. Revelation 1:8. And by the way, he was quoting these verses. You know, we talk about quoting verses. He was quoting all these verses. Some of them were different than on this list. He was quoting all these verses. I wonder how many of us could even come close to quoting half of these verses, or even our own verses on the ABCs of God. And A is for Alpha and the Almighty, who is able. Revelation 1:8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." I love that verse because God's saying, "Hey, listen, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I have been, I am right now, and I am in the future." And that alone is exciting. And then it goes on. B is for the babe who is born in a stable. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Aren't you glad that Jesus came down on this earth and lived a sinless life so that he could die on a cross for our sins? And C is for the Christ, and for the Calvary and for the cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." D is for the deliverer who saves us from our lost state. Romans chapter 11 verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, "There shall come out one of Zion, the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." E is for Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is interpreted, "God with us." F is, he is a friend to publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad of that this morning? And in Matthew, if you had to be somebody to be the friend of God, I don't know that any of us would be the friend of God. And Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19, the Bible says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified in her children." G is, he is the God whom Thomas confessed. John chapter 20, verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." By the way, we ought to have the same verse. My Lord and my God. Is he your God today? He is the head of the church that he blessed. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he said he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he might have the preeminence. He is immortal. He rose from the dead. By the way, this is what our Baptist belief is on the fact that he died on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" J is for the name of Jesus. I tell you what, that's almost the sweetest name. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, the sweetest name. K is for the King of Kings sitting on the throne. Revelation 19, verse 16, "And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." One of my favorite songs is a part of the can't remember what it's called, but the Hallelujah Chorus, and it's a part of the whole cantata thingy that's like 2-3 hours long, and I don't know about the whole thing, but I like the Hallelujah Chorus, amen? And so here's the thing is, you know what? L, he is the Lamb of Glory, the spotless Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of this world." And I tell you what, that's awesome right there. M, he is a mediator, the one between the Father and us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And he is a Nazarene. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23, "He came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, and he shall be called a Nazarene." Oh, he is the only begotten Son adored by the Father. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." P is for the great physician who heals and restores. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole hath no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I tell you what, I'm sure glad he came for sinners, because the truth of the matter is you know what, if we all were perfect, you know, you hear the people saying, "Well, I don't come to church because it's full of hypocrites." Well, you know, we're more likely to become more like Christ when we're in church than when we're out of church. And so church is more of a spiritual hospital for all of us, right? And so the Bible says, Q, quench not the spirit, but be filled. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the spirit. R, he is a rock. And 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for the drink of the spiritual rock which followed them, that rock was Christ. And S, he is a shepherd who cares for his sheep. John chapter 10 and verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." T, he is a teacher whose rules and guidelines we must keep. John chapter 3 and verse 2, "The same came forth Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest, except God be with him. You is the undefiled, harmless and holy." Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens." V, he is the vine whom the believers abide. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." W, he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." X is for the cross that he suffered on for us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Why? Is he did it all for you and me. John 5:23, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Z is for Zion, where the Redeemer shall reign. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 23, then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancient glory. And basically, that is the ABCs of the name of the Lord. Now, here's the thing is, that's a neat little deal, but what do we, how much does the name of God mean to us? How much does the name of God mean to us? You know, we all know people that sometimes, college was a bad place for this. College, you had several thousand people, and you always knew some people by name. And but others, you didn't know by name. You just knew by looking at them. And sometimes it was a little awkward when you run across them on the street. It's like, hey, you. You know what? It's so good to see you. And you know, how are you doing? And you know, you're just racking your brain trying to figure out their name. But at some point in time, you just give up and say, you know what? It's so good to see you. And instead of their name, you put you in there all the time. But you know what? The names of God. How much do we know about the names of God? Names are important. They are way revealing sometimes about ourselves and how important it is. You know what? I am known by several names. Hopefully none of them are bad around here, Brother Watson. And I'm known by a lot of people. Some I'm Pastor Willman. Some I'm Scott. Some I'm Brother Scott. Some I'm Pastor Scott. Some Dad. But you know what? There's only one that calls me honey. And woo! And the Bible's, you know what? Here's the thing the closer we become, the more personal the name. And you know what's interesting is that you know, they say that the sweetest name to anybody is their own. And you know, it's kind of interesting because you want to reach out to people and don't do what I talked about earlier at college, is learn somebody's name, because most of the time their name is the sweetest word in the English language to them. And but here's the thing is that, you know, and then you got your nicknames. I wasn't going to talk about this, but my dad, he has got a brother nickname named Fudge. At work, we have nicknames for each other. We're around each other 24-hour periods. And we have a Furby. We have a Hannibal. We have a, there's names, there's all these nicknames. We have an Uncle Buck. We have a, for some reason, I'm Preacher Bob. I don't know why. We have all these nicknames around work. And it's because we got to know each other. And here's the thing, is some names just aren't appropriate. Like if, where'd Aaron go? And if Aaron starts calling me sweetheart, we're going to have a problem. And but the thing about it is that personal names, you know, when God wanted to give Adam control of the Garden of Eden, we read in Genesis 1:1, when God wanted to give Adam control of the Garden of Eden, he let Adam name the animals. It's to demonstrate that the animals had been created by him, but that God had given Adam the authority. You know, in Bible times, anytime somebody would come into a covenant, when two people came into a covenant with each other, they would seal the covenant by changing their name sometimes. That would, because their essence would be changed. And some of that has kind of spilled into modern culture. A while ago, I married Rusty and Kylie. And you know what? Kylie's name got changed from... Fix, I'm sorry. From Fix to, all I remember now is the last name. That's who you become. And, to Growl. And so you know what? Names mean a lot. And, when God came into a covenant with man, the names were changed. Abram became Abraham. Jacob, which means deceiver, then became Israel and, Prince of God. And, When in Bible days, when they'd enter into a covenant, their name would be changed. How important names are in the Bible. And, you know, for the kids, I was going to do a little magic trick. You know, how many know that the name, I forgot his name, the great magician? Houdini, yes. All right. Houdini would oftentimes do magic tricks, okay? We have a glass right here. All right, and this glass... Brother Watson, would you like to take a drink? And Houdini sometimes would take tricks and do things like this. And he would say a magical word, Fuidini or whatever. And all of a sudden, there'd be a fish in there. Everybody see that? All right. Okay, if you can't see it, too bad. You need glasses. And anyways, but names mean so much. And the scriptures, when it was said that when they were writing out the scriptures, that when they reached the name of God, they would stop. Now, there's different variations of this that I've heard, and I assume that there's so many of them out there that this to be true, but pastor, no more. But anyways, when they reached the name of God, they would stop, fast, and pray. After they fasted, they would bathe and take a brand new quill and write a symbol for God's name. And they would throw the quill away and take up a new quill and continue to write. Why? Because they believed that the name of God meant something important. And so here's the thing is, tonight I want to concentrate a little bit on the name of the Lord. And Moses, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, everybody turn there please. The name of there should be something special about the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear ye, O Israel, the name of our God is one Lord." You see, our God is very complex, and he's multifaceted, so that one name can not adequately describe him. See, a name possesses limitations. It means something or someone is this and not that. He is here and not there. If this is universal, then one name cannot describe God. How can one name adequately express his nature and who he is? Truth of the matter is it can't. One word, I'll be honest with you, the entire English language cannot even describe the awesomeness of God. It cannot describe the fathoms of his love. It cannot describe the endlessness of his mercy and his grace. One word, especially one word, cannot describe God, much less an entire language. You see, our church is Calvary Baptist Church, and we should be proud to be part of Calvary Baptist Church. But you know what? Calvary Baptist Church means something. What does the community think of when they think of Calvary Baptist Church? Do they think of Ralph? Do they think of Pastor? Here's the thing is, it means something. It means, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And, I believe that it's important for us to study the name of God. We're commanded to honor God's name. You know what's interesting is God gave us 10 commandments. God gave us 10 commandments that are the basic guidelines on, basically, God had to have the law to show us grace. You know, none of us can ever perfect keeping all 10 commandments. You know, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And, so automatically, if we say, well, you know what, I can not lie ever. We just lied. And but 10 commandments, the third of those 10 commandments say in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I tell you what, I wish the world knew this one. I wish the world knew this one. Anywhere you go in the world, they're taking God's name in vain. They're using slang words. They're disgracing the name of God. The Bible says God will not hold him guiltless, him that taketh his name in vain. Why? Because there's something special about the name of the Lord. Do we know what that something special is? What does the name of the Lord mean to us? Is it something special? Does it represent the one that saved us? Does it represent the one in whom we, you know what? I love the song, let's see. "I know because I talked to him today." Basically, it talks about, you know what? I know God is real because, you know what? I walked with him today. I talked with him today. You can't tell me God isn't here. You can't tell me God isn't alive because, you know what? I know because I talked to him today. God takes and he guides me. God interferes, but God has a part in my life. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Those that decide to fake Christianity, those that decide, you know what? I'm going to come to church and I'm going to tuck my Bible underneath my arm and I'm going to pretend like I walk with God. I'm going to paste the smile on my face and I'm going to say, you know what? Oh, and I'm going to pretend like I sing out. And all the while inside, we're singing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Inside of our hearts, we know that we don't even have a sweet 15 minutes of prayer. And you know what? Those people that fake it, I feel sorry for them because they missed the boat. They missed the boat. You know what? The name of God isn't going to be special to them. The name of God, it's just like the closer I get to my wife, the more that the name honey means to me. And you know what? I tell you what, the closer I get to her, the more I spend, the more her name sounds sweeter. And the more I want to be around her. And the more I light up when I hear her name. Why? Because you know what? I spent time with her. And it's awesome. And you know what? The same is true with God. When we spend time with God, reading God's word, and we spend time praying, hey, you know what? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes you read the Bible, sometimes you pray, and you know what? I'll be honest with you, it don't matter if anybody looks at you strange, you just start belting it out. Grocery store, work, wherever it is, God is so wonderful. I can't explain, but I can say glory, hallelujah. I started the song too high. Glory, hallelujah, praise his holy name. You know, why? Because you know what? The name of God is sweet. It means something. You know what? Hey, I walked with him and I talked with him today. I'll be honest with you. To the world, you know what? The name of God means nothing. That's why they blaspheme the name of our Savior. That's why they take his name in vain. That's why they can just laugh and mock at church. That's why it means the whole idea of us coming to church and singing songs about Jesus, singing songs. This is why, I'll be honest with you, this is kind of a little bit of a rabbit trail. This is why I don't like the new modern songs, because most of them are, I feel this way, I feel that way. Fooey on it. It doesn't, you know what? How I feel or who I am doesn't matter half as much or even a fraction as much as who he is and what he is and how I make him feel. And you know what? Am I making my God proud or am I making me proud? What matters here? Hey, why do I live my life the way I do? What are my priorities? What are my vision? What's my focus? Is it to make me feel good? Is it to make me look special? Or is it to make God look special and to realize that, you know what? When I honor and glorify with my life, then other people see just how special he is and what is special his name means, how special his name is to me. You know what? That's what we're supposed to be sharing with other people. A lot of times we take and we teach junior church and we teach the Sunday school and we say, you know what? Hey, listen, you know what? The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not, you know what? Here's, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. And you know what? Oh, you know, and you shake your finger at them and the kids, they're looking up at you thinking, I can't do anything in this church. And you know what? What do you mean? But we fail to teach them, hey, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. Let me introduce you to a name. Not just any name, the name of a Savior. The name of one who loves beyond your wildest imagination. A name who, you know what? A name that means something like you've never known it to mean before. Hey, listen, let me introduce you to a relationship. What are we teaching our children about God's name? Is it something that when we hit a hammer, blankety blank blank blank? Or is it something that's reverenced amongst our houses being a very special name? One that means so much to mommy and daddy. One that you don't ever talk bad about because you know what? Mom and daddy, that means something to them. I tell you what does the name of God mean to us? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There should be something hallowed about the name of the Lord. You know, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says more about the name of the Lord. I tell you what, we don't have time to study all about the name of the Lord. And you know what? Tonight we're just going to briefly talk about a little bit, if I can even get past the introduction. But the Bible talks about a book of remembrance and those who thought on his name. We need to be meditating on the word of God. We need to be esteeming the name of God. We need to learn more about the Word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 17 and verse 6, I have magnified thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Later on, Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 26, and I have declared to them thy name. You know what? It's time that we declare God's name to other people. It's time. You know what? Hey, I wonder how many of the people that we work with know that we're Christians. I wonder how many, and here's the thing is, just because they know that we're Christians, did they find out about it by happenstance? Or did they find out about it because the name of Christ, the name of God means something to us? What about our neighbors? Do our neighbors know? Here's the thing is, you know what? They know exactly where we go on Sunday morning. They know exactly where we go on Sunday night. They know where exactly we go on Wednesday night and how important those are to us by how often we go. And here's the thing. What kind of testimony do we have? What kind of signal are we sending to our neighbors about the name of God? Is it just something that means something when it's convenient? Or is it something that means something? It's a sweet and precious name. We need to declare God's name. We've got to get closer to God. We've got to get to know Him more. You know, oftentimes, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 94 and verse 14, because thou set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and righteous run to it and are safe. I wonder how many of us run to the name of the Lord. I'll never forget, I was on an ambulance in Saginaw, and a lot of times we would go and they'd have a staging area for shooting or stabbing or something like that. And the police would go in and make sure that it was safe before we were able to go in. And I'll never forget, we were staging several blocks away and we were waiting. It was a shooting. We didn't know anything about what was going on. We don't know if anybody was shot, whatnot. But all of a sudden, we were sitting there for about 15 minutes. We hear the police talking about how they were clearing the scene and all this other stuff. All of a sudden, a car comes racing up to the ambulance. The door flies open and somebody cries out, quick, my buddy's been shot. And anyways, we pulled out the stretcher and got him loaded up and taken to the ambulance. And another one was staging on scenes just in case someone else was hurt. And but you know what? The people ran to a name. You know what's that? You know what the name was? Ambulance. And there was big plastered across the side of the big white box was ambulance. Across the front, people always wondered, why does ambulance spell backwards on the front of the vehicles? It's so that when you look in the rearview mirror, it's actually right, and so you can read it. Not everybody can read backwards. And so, just a little tidbit of information. But you run, whether we realize it or not, we run to a name. And I was at the ER the other day, and a car pulls up, frantic, and somebody needed help, and they ran to the ER. It was a name. Why? Because the name meant help. How much of us does God's name mean help? How much of us, the first reaction, Pastor was talking about his first reaction was prayer this morning. And how much of us, our first reaction is prayer? I tell you what, there's some people, you know what, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I struggle with it myself. You know what, we think, I've got to fix this. I've got a problem. I just don't know what to do about it. I got to do this and I got to do that. And all of a sudden you start to realize, duh, you should have prayed about it. And then you stop and you pray and you give it over to God. And then all of a sudden God says, hey, listen, I was just waiting for you to pray. And he works it all out, and God gives you the strength or the ability, or God works. You know what? And here's the thing is, you know what? How much of us, the name of God means deliverer? What name do we run to? What name is important to us? And so, I'll be honest with you, the further along the journey of walking with God, the closer and the dearer his name means. We started out, we've read in Genesis 1:1, and we read about the name Elohim. You know what? It has meaning. Why are we here? What is my purpose? Why, you know, we struggle with answers to purpose and questions. The Bible says Elohim, our creator, the one who determines our purpose. Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what? If Genesis 1:1 is true, God truly is the answer to every question in life, because life is where it began. It's not where he began, it's where we began. The earth began. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Where the world began is exactly where it should end. That is exactly where we should run to. You know what? He is our creator. He knows us. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What does God mean to us? See, God created us in the beginning. You know, nowadays, teachers teach in school. You know what? You were created from monkeys. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe some of them teachers were, but you know what? I sure wasn't. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And anybody that believes they were created from monkeys? Might have been. I don't know. No, just joking. You know what? God created them just like he created us. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. This is why we have such a problem with children nowadays, and adults for that matter, is, you know what? If we really believe that we are created from monkeys, then there's no accountability to God. There's no right and wrong. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. It's about time we start getting our children acquainted with this book right here and realizing, you know what? That there is a right and wrong, and that the reason there's a right and wrong is because there's a name that's above all names. And that name, you know what? Is one that you ought to get to know. And that's one that you ought to get to please. You know what? Hey, listen, if you get to know, it's just like this. The closer you get to pastor, the more you realize, hey man, he's a great guy. Yeah, yes, he has some rules. No running in church. Brother Watson has a horrible time with that. And but anyways, no running in church. And you know what? When you're told to do something by one in authority, you're supposed to do it. But you know what? Yes, he has some rules. But you know what? The closer you get to pastor, the more you realize, man, I tell you what, it's kind of cool being his friend. But you know what? A friendship with God is nothing compared to a friendship with pastor. See, pastor, although he's a great pastor, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but he's not perfect. Okay? You know what? Neither am I. And the more you get to know me, the more you realize that's true. But you know what? We can have a friendship with one that is perfect. What does God's name mean to us? I'll be honest with you. The atheist chooses by faith to deny God. But he doesn't realize, you know, you can't disprove God. You ever notice that? Those atheists, no matter how much they try, you cannot disprove God. You just can't do it. Why? Because God's alive, you know? And anyways, but they try and they try and try. I worked with an atheist one time, and he was adamant that he was going to prove to me that God wasn't real. And I looked at him and I said, "You're mad at God, aren't you?" "Well, yeah, I am." And he kind of let it slip out. I'm like, "Listen, are you mad at the Easter Bunny? Are you mad at Santa Claus? How about the Tooth Fairy? Did the Tooth Fairy not bring you a dollar when you were a kid?" And I'm like, "Listen, you believe that the Tooth Fairy is not real. You believe that Santa Claus is not real. You believe that the Easter Bunny is not real. But the one that you know is real, that you're denying anyways, he's the one you're mad at. And the reason you're mad at is because down deep in your heart, you know without a shadow of a doubt, God is real. You're just mad at him for one reason or another." Hey, listen, and I looked at him. I said, "Look, it's time for you to come clean with God, to realize that, you know what, he is the God of the universe. He loves you more than anything else in the world. You may be mad at him, but he loves you." Boy, he didn't like that. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God loves the atheist just as much as he loves us. But you know what? To us, the name of God should mean something. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 139, verse 13 and 14, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I tell you what, by the way, on a side note, some of the politicians should read this verse and figure out that abortion is murder. And but anyways, here's the thing is, you know what? The Bible says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." how much does my soul know God? How close am I to Him? I've got so many notes, I'm going to stop there, though. Unless you guys want me to preach for another hour. Anybody raise your hand? All right. But listen, guys, how much does the name of God mean to us? How much do we know about the name of God? What are we showing others about the name of God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. For without your word, we would not even know all the names of God. Dear Heavenly Father, if we were to just study the names of God, what an awesome revelation we would have about you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be so close to you that we can speak your name with a certain level of endearment. Dear Heavenly Father, an endearment that means that we've become close to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you're a friend to us, even the Bible says it, even while we're unlovable. Dear Heavenly Father, I can't imagine anybody more unlovable than one that is living in sin and is lost and dying and go to hell. And dear Heavenly Father, I don't understand why you loved me during that time. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to draw closer to you. And I pray that you help us to convey to our children and to our young people here at Calvary Baptist Church and portray to every visitor that comes through this door and everybody in the community, our neighbors. And dear Heavenly Father, we've got so many opportunities to invite people to come to church and share the gospel and tracts, and just the track rack is full of all kinds of opportunities. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to get to know you just that much more. Help us to be endeared to your name. Help it to mean something to us. In Jesus' name, Pastor.